Talk 920 and FM 96.5. My name is Craig Hill. This is Hometown Radio, the Dave Congleton Show. Dave, as you can tell, is not here. And we're hoping he will be back next week, but no rush. We want him to heal up lovely and fine and come back the crotchety old man that he always has been. And we welcome, as guest host right now, for the next couple hours, we're going to be talking with Matt Hoy. Matt, you are taking over.
It's nice to be here, not under these circumstances, of course, but you do have an elevator in the building, so Dave will be able to use the elevator as opposed to the stairs.
Yeah, we have a balcony, so he could sit in a rocking chair and shake his fist at kids on his lawn.
Yell at clouds. Yeah, so why don't we start out this hour with just play an interview. Dave called in on the morning show earlier and just kind of give you everybody an update on his status.
Yeah, it was, I think it was about 2 days ago. He called in, talked on the morning show, and so we got this. Enjoy this kind of Dave's updates, because people keep calling in and what's up with Dave, and this is what I know, this is what everyone else knows. So let's just take a listen as soon as I get the thing potted up. Here we go.
Mr. Congleton live himself. Dave, how you doing?
Andy, good morning. How are you, sir?
Doing good. Doing good. Hey, I appreciate you taking time to talk to us. We have just been inundated with people calling and asking how you are and where you're at and looking
for
updates.
Like it's not like I have to be anywhere. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yes. Well, and I'll try and keep it short here. I know that talking for a long time is something that may be new to you.
Whatever you need, Andy.
No. We got all the time in the world for you.
Can we do my tarot cards? I should have had my tarot cards read on Friday.
You know what? I would have stayed home. I almost asked her when Sabrina was in yesterday. I almost asked her to throw some cards out for you because we had a couple extra minutes. But I just thought I would. We try to get you on the phone this morning and see how you're feeling and if you can give us any insight as to about the big question people are asking is what happened.
Well, this is what I can tell you. From Saturday morning until Tuesday afternoon, I was at Sierra Vista Regional Medical Center, and once again, they came through. Those people, the doctors, the nurses, the staff, I can't say enough wonderful things about them. And then on Tuesday afternoon, I was transferred to my present location, San Luis Transitional Care,
right
here in San Luis Obispo, which is a wonderful rehab center. And I can only echo my praise. They are just treating me wonderfully. I've been hanging out with my new friend, Bill, my 88-year-old roommate. And we're getting along great, and they're taking really good care of me.
Okay.
This is what I can tell you about Saturday.
Okay.
I was supposed to attend the Women's March rally. I'd interviewed the women on my show earlier in the week. And I wanted to show up and support them. So I left my house and I drove to San Luis Obispo. And I pulled into the Marsh Street parking garage. And I was, I don't know, up about the third floor. It was about 10 minutes of 10. And Andy, this is all I know. I walk down the stairs and I walk outside. And that's the last thing I remember.
Oh,
30
wow.
minutes later, I wake up in the emergency room at Sierra Vista, and Dr. Kissel is trying to figure out what the hell's going on. Apparently, and again, I don't know any of the details. This is all to be determined. Apparently, I was crossing the street, and a guy in his car was turning the street, and I didn't see him, and he didn't see me. So he caught me right at my left knee.
Ouch.
Smashed into me, sent me to the ground where I bruised my right shoulder, fell on my back, and I hit my head, and I was knocked unconscious. Excuse me. So they took me to the hospital, and on Sunday, Dr. Batten did knee surgery because I busted my left kneecap. And so now, if you were to see me, I am in a pretty much a full leg cast up and down my left leg. And I will be this way for about a month and a half. And so now I'm at the rehab center because I have to learn how to walk and exercise and function again on my own. It was a very strange experience, Andy, because they did the surgery, and because I damaged my head, they didn't give me an anesthetic. Instead, they gave me a spinal tap, and I'd never had that before.
Wow.
But at the end of the surgery, for, two, 3 hours, I couldn't feel my feet. I couldn't feel anything below my waist. And that was a very strange experience.
So does that mean during your knee, while they were repairing your kneecap, that you were having a conversation with the surgeons at that point then?
Well, I was alert, but they had my face covered. I couldn't see them.
Got it.
But I was alert. And I just, I tell you, 5 days later, I'm still in shock. You know, this is not what I expected. And it's, I'm just still in shock. So I am very grateful for all the people who have come by and called and emailed and Facebooked. I appreciate it very much. I think I just need to be left alone and let me do my thing. I'm in physical therapy. They're trying to get me walking on crutches and using a wheelchair. And I don't have a definite return date yet, but I'm hopeful it will be sooner rather than later.
Right.
I'm making great progress. I don't know what else to tell you.
Okay, but at this point, you don't need anything. You just need to have some time to do some recuperation, sounds like.
I don't know what it would be, my friend.
All righty. Well, I know the one thing. I know the one thing that everybody wants to send you is well wishes.
I appreciate that.
Because the text line blows up, the phone calls blow up on a regular basis. People just asking if we've heard from you and how you're doing, and if there's anything you need or anything that they can do.
I was in wonderful hands at Sierra Vista. And I can't say enough good things about San Luis Transitional Care. I'll tell you the one thing I don't need. I'm in my hospital room Monday morning. Oh, it was about 9 o'clock. And this guy just walks in off the street. I don't know him from you.
Right.
And he just sits down and he wants to start arguing religion with me.
So,
I said, you know what, pal? I just got hit by a car. And I don't know what's going on. And I'm not being rude, but you just really need to leave.
Yeah,
we're not going to have this debate now.
The talk show is on the air, not next to my hospital bed.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So I've got a full dose of physical therapy today, and I hope that we can make some decisions soon. I know that today our listeners will be treated to a best of Dave, and Craig Hill is keeping things together, but again, I don't want to be away too long. But I'm going to have to move into a private resident next. I'm not going to be allowed to be on my own, so that is being set up for me as we speak. So we'll see.
All right. Well,
not the summer I had planned, but I'm just I'm lucky to be alive.
You know what?
And we're grateful.
We are so glad you are, David.
And that's Dave Congleton from earlier this week. So don't come and visit him in his hospital room. He will recover well enough on his own. This is Matt Hoy sitting in for Dave Congleton. For the rest of this hour, summer book reading time. I got some books I've read recently. Gonna, promote those. If you've got a book that you think you enjoyed and is great and everyone ought to read, call in, tell us a little bit about it, sell it to your fellow listeners. If you're a local author and you want to hawk your book, we'll give you a few seconds to hawk your book here on the Dave Congleton Show. News Talk 920 KVEC and 96.5 FM. We'll be right back. This is Matt Hoy sitting in for the one-legged injured Dave Congleton here on News Talk 920 KVEC. For the rest of this hour, if you've got a book that you like or you're reading this summer or you want to hear some that I've been reading lately, we're going to offer those up to you. You give us a call at 543-8830 or 1-800-549-5832. In the next hour, we're going to have Laura Carno of Coloradans for Civil Liberties. She runs a program there called Faster Colorado, which trains teachers in self-defense for school shootings. So, yes, I'm on the show, which means we're going to talk a little bit about guns. So, starting out with books. Again, if you got one, give us a call, 543-8830. Most recent book I finished, The Phenomenon, Pressure, the Yips, and the Pitch That Changed My Life by Rick Ankiel, who was the...
He was a pitcher?
He was a pitcher for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah.
And he gets into his first playoff game, and all of a sudden, he can't throw a strike. Can't throw a strike to save his life.
I remember that was a cut. That wasn't too long. That was a couple years ago, about 10 years ago.
It was
about
15 years ago.
Wow,
time
flies.
Time flies. He couldn't get a pitch across. He set the record for most wild pitches in the playoffs in a single game. So, again, you know, he went through that. He went back down to the minors. He talks about all the things he went through before he finally said, look, I give up. I can't be a pitcher anymore. And
he transitioned.
He transitioned his
fielder.
He walks into Tony La Russa's office and says, I quit. And the very next day, his agent convinces him to try out as an outfielder.
Mm-hmm.
And so he shows back up the next day as an outfielder and has a pretty darn good career as an outfielder. He played for a number of teams, played about 10 years in the majors as an outfielder. And, you know, he threw a fastball 98 miles an hour. You put that in an outfielder and all of a sudden, you know, you're thinking about turning that double into a triple. Maybe not a good idea.
No.
Because he could throw a strike, you know, 150, 200 feet, 60 feet, 6 inches, horrified him. And he kind of, you know, it's an interesting story about not just baseball, but his life too. And his father was in prison when he first went to the majors. And, you know, just growing up and the things he dealt with and the kind of man he became. And it's really an inspiring story.
What's it called again?
It's called The Phenomenon, Pressure, the Yips, and the Pitch That Changed My Life by Rick Ankiel. And again, great story. He's been invited to throw out the first pitch, ceremonial first pitch at some games.
From center field?
He is offered to throw it out from center field. Actually, they have offered him to have him catch it. He will not throw it. He will not throw from a mound. He made it back to the majors as a pitcher for a short period of time, but he pitched drunk. And that was the only way he could do it, is if he was basically, you know, roaring drunk on the mound, is the only way that he could get over it. So, very interesting book. Another one I read recently is called Extreme Justice. It's by Vincent Green.
And sounds like a Steven Seagal movie.
Don't Steven Seagal movies have three words in their name?
Yeah.
Hard to Kill. You know, it's
Above the Law.
Above the Law. Under Siege was two. Now, Extreme Justice, it's the story of a murder in an American POW camp. So it's we captured a bunch of Germans and we had POW camps in the heartland of America. Mm-hmm. And so this was, we captured a bunch of Nazis, sent them to this camp in Oklahoma, and this one guy was so excited about being in America, he wanted to move here. And he was offering up intelligence to the Americans, which was frankly useless. We knew it all. He'd been in, you know, captive so long, it was mm-hmm. not useful intelligence. But he was offering intelligence to the Americans, and his fellow POWs, Germans, killed him. And it's the story of that guy, his trial, and that story. So that was another very interesting one, Extreme Justice by, let me get his name again, Vincent Green. So, you read anything lately? Put you on the spot?
I have kind of three things. One of them was a reread, Art of the Deal.
Ah.
Donald Trump.
Yes.
You know? And a lot of people tell me, their thing to say is, oh, you know, he didn't write that. I'm like, well, he must have read it because he's doing everything that's in that book. And if you read that book, it is like a instruction manual on mm-hmm. what is going on now. If you want to understand the mindset, if you want to understand what he's doing, the techniques, it's all in there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's the famous movie quote, you know, in the movie Patton, mm-hmm. you know, I read your book, You magnificent bastard, you know? Because that's how Patton defeats Rommel.
Right.
Because he read the book that the guy wrote on tactics.
Yeah.
So if you want to understand, you know, Donald Trump, read Art of the Deal, because it's all in there what he's doing right now.
Yes, if you're one of those resistance types, you can buy it used, and he doesn't get a dime.
Doesn't get a dime, and you will know what he's going to do next. So I'm telling you, instruction manual for him. And that was something I reread recently. There's another book I read from time to time just when I'm trying to brush up on laws, certain laws, because I'm working on a mm-hmm. side project, and it's called Storm Over Rangelands by Wayne Hage. And it's this guy who's a rancher in Nevada. Mm-hmm. Kind of everyone knows Bundy, but this is the lesser known guy. And it's about private rights in federal lands. And he wrote this book talking about his ordeal. And now his son has taken over the mantle of finding the government on this. And so whenever I'm needing information, I do that. And then there's finally a third book, which I'm not all the way through yet. And it's Armenia's Fingerprint by a local, my former English teacher, Mr. Bruce Bedrigian.
Hmm.
And I was reading it. And the only reason I stopped because, man, it is it's not it's a fiction book.
Right.
But there's a lot of it that's nonfiction, that's real, that really happened, mm-hmm. kind of intertwined in there.
Right.
And it's just very difficult and brutal, the things that happened. And I'm a comedy guy. I'm a light guy.
Right.
And it's...
So speaking of comedy, have you read Norm Macdonald's Based on a True Story?
No.
That one, I'd encourage people to read that. It's a little bit, you know, colorful, but go ahead and check that out. Based on a True Story by Norm Macdonald. The audiobook is mostly read by Norm Macdonald, sometimes read by his ghostwriter, but go ahead and check it out. We're talking books here on 920 KVEC, The Dave Congleton Show. Sitting in for Dave Congleton on the Dave Congleton Show on 920kvc.com. At the Hoy household in Paso Robles, the temperature was 1 million degrees. At least that's how it felt before I came down here to a much more comfortable San Luis Obispo. We're going to talk books for the rest of this hour. If you've got a book to suggest, please give us a call, 543-8830, 1-800-549-5832.
Or you can text. We already got a text.
We got a text. Someone suggesting the old classic Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance.
Yeah, by Robert Persing?
Yeah, I'm not sure how to pronounce it.
And they let us know that the author just died about a year ago.
Yeah, so his kids will get the
Money.
The money.
But what is,
and his grandkids.
Have you heard of that book?
Heard of that book forever. I've never really read it because it's not really about motorcycle maintenance. It's more about Zen. at least that's what I hear. Now, I have been occasionally dipping back in and reading older books. And by older books, I mean 40, 50, 60, 70-year-old books. I've reread some Agatha Christie. I read Agatha Christie in, middle school and high school a little bit, like those mysteries. They still make movies out of them. They did another make of Murder on the Orient Express. Amazon had a version of Crooked House, which I had never read. That's a Christie mystery, Agatha Christie mystery, but it's not Hercule Poirot and it's not Miss Marple. So that was pretty interesting. Another one I read was a science fiction classic called The Forever War by Handelman, I believe is the guy's name. And it was written, I think, in early 70s. And the guy was a Vietnam veteran. And the interesting thing to me, reading a lot of 60s and 70s and even early 80s era science fiction, is they imagined, you know, us being a spacefaring and all of this sort of stuff, and, you know, exploring new worlds and the new planets, but from a kind of global wealth standpoint, they had all bought into this idea that we're all going to starve to death type of thing.
So kind of everything seems to be a kind of a dystopian
right. Well, it's
viewpoint.
It's just the reason why we're going to go to other planets is because we can't make enough here on Earth. But at the same time, so Haldeman's book, The Forever War, it's interesting because it's a lot about, you know, they get basically very close to the speed of light travel, which brings in Einstein and, you know, and how fast time moves. And so here's a guy who goes and fights for, you know, 10 or 15 years of his time, and it's hundreds of years of Earth time. And we move from a world that we would all recognize to he comes back for, you know, rest and relaxation, and no longer do we have money. Everything is based on calories, and because that's the new thing, it's rationing what you can eat. Isaac Asimov was kind of bad with this too. He thought, you know, you read those old R. Daniel Olivaw books, you know, the robot kind of murder mystery books, and you know, people live in really small apartments and they don't get much food and this sort of thing. But there's all this technology. And there's one case that struck me as a former newspaper guy where Asimov describes newspaper presses running 24 hours a day and everyone grabbing a printed newspaper and being constantly updated. And it's like he couldn't see computer.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't see the personal computer from there. He didn't see tablets.
What year was that?
That's in the 60s. You know, the idea that you would have a computer that would fit in your pocket was so foreign to him. And, you know, the newspaper, you know, news has survived. You know, Dave and I talk about journalism sometime. And a reason why a lot of newspapers kind of got caught short foot or got caught out when advertising revenue dropped was they were so focused on the paper part rather than the news part. And delivering that. So reading some of those old science fiction novels, you get an idea of what people were thinking 40 or 50 years ago. And it's amazing how wrong, you know, and these guys were futurists, right? They're supposed to be kind of predicting the future. And just how wrong they were is kind of amazing.
And Star Trek got it right. So it's not like it wasn't on people's radar.
Well,
computers were around then.
Right, right.
And some people, like Gene Roddenberry, could see the future.
Some people could.
But these writers...
Arthur C. Clarke. Couldn't. Clarke, you know, one of the, I think Samsung was defending itself against Apple over, you know, the tablet form of a computer. And one of Samsung's defenses of that was the movie 2001 A Space Odyssey, where there's a scene where the two astronauts are sitting down there and they've got what look like tablet computers on their desk and they're watching the news on them. So some people could see it, but it's amazing how so many futurists kind of got it wrong over the years. Again, we're on the Dave Congleton Show, News Talk 920 KVEC. If you've got a book to suggest, a book that you've written and want people to read, give us a call. 543-8830, 1-800-549-5832.
Or you can text in like somebody has already done.
Which number do they text?
805. 543-8830.
Okay.
And our first suggestion is Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance.
So let's see. What else? Anything by Bill Bryson's pretty good? Read any of his stuff?
No. I'm one of those people that if it's worth reading, they make into a movie. So if it's not been made into a movie, then I probably won't read it.
Okay.
I'll give you one of those.
I'll give you one of those. Annihilation, that Natalie Portman movie. Based on a series of books called the Southern Reach Trilogy.
I'm in a good movie. I haven't
heard. The books are weird. The book, I mean, it's you know, there's some differences and whatnot. The books are pretty darn weird. That's all I got to say about that. People seem to like them, but It's one of those things where you're like, okay, I'm not sure I exactly get the point. So, yeah, I read those Southern Reach books. Those were, enjoyed them, but I'm not sure, unless you're on acid, I'm not sure that's a book that you can really read and get a whole lot out of. Let me see, what else? Neal Stephenson, you ever read any of his stuff?
No.
He writes long. It's good stuff, but he writes long. His latest book is called The Rise and Fall of Dodo, D-O-D-O, which is the Department of Diacritical Operations or something like that. It is a near future where they basically create... They identify a day and time when magic stopped working. And they create a time machine where they can go back in time and change things. And it's very interesting how that kind of becomes a... the military, of course, gets involved, and it's all sorts of kind of interesting. But his books are long, but they're well-written and well worth it. He's also did another one called Reamde, R-E-A-M-D-E. It looks like Read Me. It's a very interesting book as well. We've got a caller, something to suggest. What should we be reading this summer?
One that might be interesting if you like things based, nonfiction, would be Skunk Works by Ben R. Rich and Leo Janus. I'm in the process of reading that one right now. Very fascinating. It's a personal memoir on the person's years working at Lockheed Martin, about 20 years worth during the Cold War, and the whole race that most people don't know anything about, and the constant challenge of meeting the technological developments coming from Russia and the United States, and the constant battle to have the best of defense.
That sounds really good. I'm going to put that on my list because I do like that sort of stuff. And you know, that's what the SR-71 and the F-117 Nighthawk.
You got it.
Yeah.
They talk about geometrics of the plane and how it actually blocks radar. And just goes into a really easy to understand way of all of that. So if you're into tech and love just the idea of jets and all that stuff we never got to hear about, it says it in a really easy way to understand. That'd be the best way to explain the book.
Great. Skunk Works. Give us the name of the authors again.
It's Ben R. Rich. Ben R. Rich, R-I-C-H, and Leo Janus.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's... I think I'm going to kind of like that one. So...
Yeah, you guys have a good weekend.
Thank you very much for calling. You're listening to the Dave Congleton Show on KVEC 920 News Talk, 920 AM, 96.5. We'll be right back. This is Matt Hoy sitting in for Dave Congleton on the Dave Congleton Show, KVEC News Talk, 920 AM, 96.5 FM. We got a few more minutes. We're talking about books here, summer reading, give you some suggestions on some stuff that you can read at the beach this summer where it is relatively nice weather-wise as opposed to the inland valleys and whatnot, which is hot. So... we'll have Laura Carnow of Coloradans for Civil Liberties coming up here in the next hour talking about training teachers and faculty administrators on firearms there in Colorado. In the meantime, just had a recommendation for Skunk Works talking about the SR-71 and kind of Lockheed Martin in those years. If you're also interested in tech and spying and that sort of stuff, another good book that I recently read was called The Spy Who Couldn't Spell, A Dyslexic Traitor, An Unbreakable Code, and the FBI's Hunt for American Stolen Secrets. I'd give you the name of the author, but it's an Indian name, and I will butcher it. I will give it a try. It is by Yudhijit Bhattacharjee. Just look by the name, the title of the book. Don't worry about the author. It's kind of unique out there. The Spy Who Couldn't Spell. Very interesting book. Military man who turned and tried to kind of sell our secrets to the Chinese and the Russians and didn't do a very good job of it. And some of that was helped by the fact that he couldn't spell very well.
So it sounds like it's a spy book about me because I am awful at spelling. I'm the absolute worst.
It's pretty bad. But it's an interesting story. Started out as an article in Wired magazine. That's where the author kind of wrote the original, 2,000-word article. Turned it in, did more research, more study, more, interviews, and turned it into a full-size book. And it's really it's an engrossing read. It will go very quickly for those of you who are interested in that kind of thing. What else have I got here on my reading list? I'm going to plug anything by Larry Correa. You might even like this stuff.
Never heard of him, but what did he write?
He writes a series called Monster Hunters International. And it is a cross between, you like movies, it's a cross between The Expendables and every monster movie you've ever heard of. So the premise of it is that all monsters are real. And the U.S. government has a bounty program for killing vampires and wolfmen and trolls and every monster you've ever heard of.
Is this a real story? Is this true?
It's not. I don't think it's true.
No.
But it's a lot of fun. It's, explosions and blowing things up and that sort of stuff. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. They have the government kind of lead government guy is Mr. Franks, and if you think about it a little bit, you'll realize what his background is.
Hot dogs?
No, I think it had to do with Frankenstein, as a government agent. So that's a lot of fun. Got a caller here with a suggestion. Let's hear it. What book should we be reading this summer?
Hey, Matt. Hey, Craig. Yeah, let's see. Well, I just got hooked on Vince Flynn's series about a character named Mitch Rapp. He's a counter-espionage or counter-terrorism agent. And I'm on book three now, but I'm going to keep going. So the author is Vince Flynn.
I've heard those are good, and they made a movie out of, I guess, the first one called American Assassin. Wasn't that right?
Yeah, that's I'm not there yet. That's probably about book six or seven.
Oh, okay.
The first one was called Term Limits, which doesn't have that character, but it sets up a lot of the other characters.
So,
and it goes on from there. And another author, if you like action books, Joel C. Rosenberg is the author. He has a number of books, several series, but he is a geopolitical analyst, so he knows his stuff. He knows what's going on out there. Any of Joel C. Rosenberg's books are excellent.
Okay, great. Yeah, I've heard about the Mitch Rapp books. I'm always a little wary about getting hooked on another series. I mean, I've read all of the Harry Bosch novels by Michael Connelly. I like those.
Mm.
I've read the Amos Decker books by David Baldacci, something like that.
Yeah, and I love the Alex Cross books by James Patterson.
Oh yes, James Patterson. We need to have a discussion someday about James Patterson and exactly how he churns out all of that stuff. Because it seems like he's got two dozen co-authors. His name's always at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And he just cranks out stuff at an unbelievable rate.
With great characters. The Alex Cross series has tremendous characters.
Okay, sounds good. Got another call?
No, we got a text.
We got a text. Give it to me.
Ringworld by Larry Niven.
Yes, I have read that. That's an interesting book. It's kind of the basis for the idea of the Ringworld is the basis for those Halo video games.
Mm.
But Ringworld, I read the first one. I might have read the second one. But yeah, it's Larry Niven and Jerry Purnell. I think Purnell died recently, but they wrote quite a few really good science fiction books that unlike the ones we were mentioning earlier, they kind of stand up over time. Yeah, that's an excellent book. And the thing is, for you ladies out there, if you're interested in kind of sci-fi, it's a romance story. It is. You don't find out till the very end, but it's a romance
sci-fi
story.
Sci-fi romance.
It's sci-fi romance.
Well, we have another suggestion on the text line. Anything by Kurt Vonnegut.
Kurt Vonnegut, I've read, the most recent book of his that I read was Sirens of Titan, which is kind of interesting. I read, what's the one that's got Ice Nine in it? Do you know that one?
No.
There's one that's, there was a movie called The Recruit where they talked about, you know, Vonnegut and this Ice Nine thing. And it's basically, now I got to look it up.
Action Radio texting.
It's
Googling.
Cat's Cradle is the novel, and it's basically
typed in Cat's Cradle.
Yeah.
All right, you beat him to it.
So Ice Nine, basically, it's this thing that basically turns all the water in the world to ice, and you can't melt it, you can't do anything with it, and once it touches something contiguous that has water as well, that freezes. So if you've got bottled water, you're okay. But if you go to, lick the surface of a pond, well, all the water in your body turns to ice, too. And it's kind of a dystopian disaster novel. So, yeah, that was an interesting one. Sirens of Titan was another one of his that I read.
Player Piano?
Haven't read that one. I haven't read Slaughterhouse-Five. It's on my bookcase to read. And that's his most famous one, and I haven't read that one. So... let's see, what else?
I had another one that I read recently, and I was kind of sharing it with my son. The Ripken Way by Cal Ripken.
Mm.
You mentioned earlier...
Rick Ankiel.
Rick Ankiel. Well, yeah. Cal Ripken had a book many, many years ago. Came with a baseball card, by the way.
and signed?
Not signed. Well, fake signed.
Fake signed.
But it
auto pen, yeah.
It doesn't just go into... hey, this is when I hit that ball, and I hit it for this reason. And
right.
It goes into his family. His father, Cal mm-hmm. Ripken Sr., was a manager. A lot of years in the minor leagues, and it talks about how he grew up, with his dad in the minor league system and in the Oriole way. And he talks about how it's not just, play hard.
Right.
He talks about there's these fundamentals that are specifically Oriole team ways that they do things, and they start it from the very lowest minor league team, mm-hmm. and they continue it all the way through the majors.
Yeah.
And it talks about, his history and his family history and how baseball's affected their lives. It's very interesting.
I'll throw one more out there. Preston and Child, you may have heard. They do some adventure mysteries. Douglas Preston also writes a lot of nonfiction, and there's a book that he put out called The Lost City of the Monkey God. And it is this civilization they discovered. I believe it's in Honduras. It's been a while since I read the book. But a whole lost culture deep in the jungles. And he was with the team that went down there and kind of uncovered the first bits of it. And it's a really interesting story, really scary story. They have very vicious snakes down there called the Fer de Lance. But that, if you read the book, that is not the scariest thing down there. Surprisingly enough, bugs are. And a lot of the people who went on this expedition. And again, this is the sort of thing that you'd used to kind of associate with the turn of the century and the great explorers. Mm-hmm. Well, this happened just recently. And it's finding a whole new society down there in Honduras. We got Laura Carnow coming up the next hour. This is News Talk 920 KVEC. Dave Congleton Show.